I was here a fortnight ago, so praise God. So here I am. And, you know, we're in the same part of the Bible again, in the Old Testament. Isn't the Old Testament great? The book of Ruth. I said to Pastor Paul, I had to cut so many corners a fortnight ago in what I wanted to say that I said so much was unsaid. And he said, well, go and share again. So here I am sharing again, looking at the book of Ruth, which nestles between Judges and 1 Samuel. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we're thinking about a suitcase. And I think Naomi and Ruth, Naomi the mother-in-law, now not everybody was there, not everybody would have heard what I said, so I'm doing a bit of recapping in what I'm saying today. Here's the situation. There's a family living in a place called Bethlehem, which is, you know, fits very nicely in the New Testament. We hear a lot about Bethlehem, and of course it's a key event that happens at Bethlehem for all of us, for all mankind, what happens at Bethlehem. But now we're looking back in history in the same place. We're kind of winding backwards to a time when an ancestor of Jesus was in Bethlehem. And one of his ancestors was a man called Elimelech, verse 2. If you're looking at chapter 1, verse 2, Elimelech. And things got pretty desperate, and he took his family and his wife and two sons off where there was a bit more, somewhere where there was provision. I think they sold their land, or it was put in hock, or whatever, however you like to say it. And they went off to Moab, in another country, a neighboring country, to live, where there was a bit more food and a bit more provision. And while they were there, some things happened. The two sons married two local girls. They fell in love, which actually was a bit against what the teaching was at the time. But anyway, they got married to these girls. One of them was Ruth, and the other was Orpah. And that's verse 4. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And at the end of 10 years, the boys died. And the husband died. The husband and the boys died. So the women were on their own. There was Naomi and her two daughters-in-law on their own. And the situation was very difficult for them to survive and live. And she decided that they would go back. Naomi decided they would return to their homeland and go back to their kin and see if they could kind of find an answer to their need by going back to Bethlehem, which is the house of bread or the house of meat, the meaning of the word. And as she was going, she said to her daughters-in-law, they said to her, surely, verse 10, we will return with you to your people. But she said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I'm too old to have a husband. So she was releasing them. This was a crossroads for them. They were at that point where they could have found husbands. They were probably young. They had plenty of years left. They could have families of their own. Why shouldn't they? She was inviting them to. And this was a crossroads, and these two women chose different routes. I want us to think about these two women briefly. Orpah agreed. She took Naomi's word as the right one for her. And she, it says, verse 14, they lifted up their voices and wept again. But Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. And that was the goodbye kiss. But Ruth, it says, clung to her. Now, in life, sometimes when we're kind of in situations, somebody comes in, you come into a situation where you have some kind of encounter, some kind of reality about God comes into your life. And for some people, as it did for Orpah, because when she married into this family, Orpah, she changed her gods. She no longer served the old idols that the Moabites served, but she turned to the living God. And if she'd gone back, she said, well, you can go back and they go back to your own country, your own peoples, your own gods. And she made that choice to go back. So there was that kind of intimacy of embrace, in a sense, that relationship was there, but she left. Whereas Ruth clung, it says, clung, cleaved to, clung on to, held tightly onto Naomi. And even though she didn't know, because Naomi was going to go to a place, they were going to fill their suitcases up, and they were going to go to a land that would be strange for her. Strange people, strange tongue maybe, I don't know, but certainly a strange place for her to go to. But she felt that call. She felt that call to go. And so she went. "Entreat me not to leave you," she said, verse 16. "Or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge." Now, we've been thinking about Naomi last time as one of the, I believe Naomi in the story here, certainly part of the story, is a type of the Holy Spirit. And it's like the Holy Spirit has spoken to both these girls, and sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks in a way that often gives us a choice. We can go that way, or we can go another way, because God is, he doesn't force people. There's something called free will, so there's free will, and it was up to Ruth and Orpah to decide which way they would go. And Ruth made that decision. She felt that draw of something more in her life, that God had something for her. So she said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge." I mean, that's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? In my life, I say, well, it's the cloud by day and the fire by night that leads us in the way that we desire as Christians, as believers, to go where God takes me, wherever that is, to a strange land. It might be a strange land. It might be somewhere in North Africa or wherever. Your people shall be my people. And that's what happens with, Ruth is a type of the Gentile church that we are grafted in. And I haven't got time to go into all that now, but basically there is a grafting in of the Gentile church, and we are kind of, perhaps you could say we're a Gentile church, so we're grafted into Israel. And that reality of that holds for us too. And they came to, Bethlehem, and then I just want to just make sure I'm connecting with the right things today, because I don't just want to say what I said last time. But what this message is entitled? This message is entitled Intimacy with God. So I want to kind of focus on as a key bit of the story here, on Ruth chapter 3, where after a process of things happening and them arriving and then looking for food and gleaning in the harvest field for their needs to be met and a measure of blessing in their lives over a period of time, they start to develop this. There starts to be a relationship developing with then one of their nearest kinsmen, and this is a man called Boaz. And Boaz is described, you can read about Boaz in different chapters, chapter 2. He's a very man of great wealth and importance in the town or the village. And he is shown us, we see a picture of him in chapter 3, that he is like the Lord of the harvest, that he is on the winnowing floor. And we thought about what the winnowing floor was. The threshing floor and the winnowing floor, where the harvest was, where they bring the harvest in and they bash it or they tread it down with oxen to separate out the husks from the grain, from the goodness, and in that when they were winnowing in chapter 3, it talks about them that they've been winnowing on the threshing floor, the barley. And what they do is they throw it up in the air. They throw they've threshed it, and then they throw it up in the air so it's separated. And then the wind blows. Either a real wind blows, if it's windy, they let the real wind blow, and it blows the rubbish away, blows the chaff away. Or they use winnowing fans to blow it. And that causes the rubbish to be separated out. So it's a place of separation. We thought about it as a place of separation. And for Ruth, it signified a place of a separation, or for us even, thinking about coming to a threshing floor where there is a separation of what is of God and what is not of God in our lives. So there is a separation of, so that the things that are not pleasing to him are removed. And God puts us on the threshing floor in our lives. And that can be quite tough. I mean, if you're being trodden down by oxen and circumstances and situations, sometimes there is a positive purpose in that. You may not feel it as you're going through it, but there's something positive in it. And if you come like Ruth came, as under the leading of the Holy Spirit, you can make the right kind of response in the situation that will lead to something good, something that will bless you, that will release God's purpose in your life. And so she came, and we thought last time about how Naomi was here, the type of the Holy Spirit giving instructions to how leading her. The Holy Spirit leads us into encounter with Jesus, encounter with the Lord, and reveals who he is. Boaz is described as he's the nearest kinsman. In the Hebrew, that means the same as a kinsman redeemer. So this whole picture ties up with a vision of Boaz being a type of Jesus, who is the redeemer of his people. And what do they need redemption for, Ruth and Naomi? They need redemption because they have nowhere to live. They have no provision for their need. They're relying on charity. They're in the field, and they were gleaning. And gleaning is just taking the leftovers from the harvest that were left behind the harvesters. You go around and gather them up. And they knew real blessing through the gleanings. And in our lives, as we come in, if you see yourself maybe making a journey like Ruth from a foreign country, leaving gods that you've known in your life before, leaving idols and things in your life that have not blessed you, but you've seen something, you've started to follow God's call in your life to a place. It might be literally to another place, or it might be just in terms of your character, walk of character, and a walk of away from things that you valued before, now then no value to you. So you're changing your perspective, and you're following God's call to another land, to another place, spiritually. And there's a progression here. There's a sense of progression here, you know, where choices are made, and we say, Lord, like we have in our lives, in our walk with God, there are times when you come to watersheds in your life, and times when God moves you. And I believe that God wants, things sometimes seem to move at that level. They seem to move on that level for a long, long time. And life can get very boring, and you say, well, what's happening, Lord, in my life? Nothing happening. But with God dealing in your life, he wants to take us much deeper than we've been. He wants to take us into something much more than we've seen. Yeah? Much, much greater. And this is what, I mean, Ruth didn't even know what she was on the brink of here, but she was on the brink of an incredible breakthrough in her life that was going to see her whole life transformed and changed, that she was going to move into a destiny you wouldn't have believed she could have had, because she wasn't even a Jew. She wasn't an Israelite. And yet, God has seen her heart. And I think it says somewhere she was of more worth than seven sons. That's great, isn't it? I mean, who is she? I mean, she's not anybody. But there she is, and she's God's. And you can see the exchanges between Boaz and her. We haven't got time to look at all this, but see the exchanges between Boaz and Ruth in the field, in the gleaning field. She's there. It says she sort of happened on his field. It says, I think in the AV it said something, the word hap was there. It's an old, really old word, hap. So she's in the field, and she just happens to be, we know that, she just happens to be in Boaz's field, who happens to be Naomi's, one of Naomi's nearest kinsmen. And when she's there, her character comes out. Her character, her walk that she already had with God in that sense, came out because people noticed her. Boaz noticed her, and they got into conversation. And he told the harvesters to drop some of the harvest in front of her as she came along. So instead of her picking up the leftovers, she was getting some of the real stuff, some of the stuff that was supposed to be in taken to the threshing floor. And so she took that, and so she was knowing blessing. Now, we all know blessing in our lives. I mean, I think there's blessing in, when you have a look, she was blessed when she married into this family. She was blessed when Naomi took her to Bethlehem. She was blessed when she was out in the field gleaning. Can you see the progression? There's an increase of blessing coming in her life here. And that God wants for us too, in our lives. And I don't even think she could see what was coming. I think Naomi saw it, because we see that she knows the significance and is teaching her daughter-in-law, like the Holy Spirit would teach us, what the significance would be to go in and into that place with a threshing floor. And it says in chapter 3, she says to her, "Now Boaz, whose young women were with you," and again, you've got the white young women as well. She was with the young women, which speaks to me, again, that she's experiencing fellowship, the benefits of fellowship in the body. And she was with the young women, so there was something happening there in terms of fellowship and relationship, thinking in church terms. You can come into a church and experience something in church, which is good, which is God's blessing, which is kind of relationships with others in the church, which is great. That's God. My daughter, shall I not seek security for you? Security for you, that it may be well with you. Now, this was she's beginning to say, look, there's something more for you here. There's something more for you. Security, safety, something for a woman in that day and age. It would be a husband, really. It would be a husband. It would be someone who would be her protector. That it may be well with you. Now, Boaz, whose young women were with you, is he not our nearest kinsman, or a near kinsman, a redeemer? In fact, he's actually, right now, tonight, winnowing on the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself. So here's the Holy Spirit giving instructions. Wash yourself. You've got to prepare. You can't come into God's presence casually. Yeah, okay, I know you can meet God casually in the way. We didn't realize it's him. But if we want to come move into a higher walk with him, if we want to move into what he's calling us into, a relationship that has more, is further developed, we have to do it on his terms. So we have to prepare ourselves. It's the protocol of coming into his presence on his terms. Now Boaz, the young woman, sorry, therefore wash yourself, verse 3, and anoint yourself, there's the anointing oil, the Spirit. Because the anointing oil, put on your best garment. What garment are we going to put on? What garment are you going to put on? As a believer, what garments are you wearing? As a believer, a garment that will give you confidence to come before a king. It says, our own righteousness, if it's my righteousness, it's filthy rags. So I can't go into his presence as I am. But the righteousness of Christ, the robes of righteousness. Interesting. Okay, what's happening here, Lord? Go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known. I just find this interesting, so fascinating last time. That it says, don't make yourself known. You just go there and be there. And she has very clear instructions about what she can or can't do. Very specific about how she has to behave when she comes into the presence of Boaz. She's wearing her best garment. She's coming in. She's all prepared. And she's quiet and still. She hasn't come in. She hasn't sort of breezed in there with, she's come in humble, quiet, submissive. She comes and lies down. He's lying down after eating. And she lies at his feet. And she pulls the cover. She pulls the covering over herself as she was instructed to do so. She says she went down and did according to all, verse 6, that her mother-in-law instructed her. Now, we have to let's say, if we want to see the kind of breakthrough we're looking for in our lives, we have to do all that the Holy Spirit instructs us to do. Like, it's not compromise. Like, I say, well, I'll do this, Lord, but not that. Right? So that we kind of set a limit. I think we do set limits on what we will allow the Holy Spirit to do in our lives sometimes. Not that, that's a no-go area. Have you got a no-go area in your life? But she did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And then he went to lie down, and then she came softly. Sometimes you have to come to God softly. Yeah, you don't sort of come in noisily. And it's great to shout, but also what we're talking about here is we're coming to something that is going to lead to an intimacy. The intimacy of marriage. The intimacy which all this is to do with how that intimacy is developed. Softly coming, uncovering the feet, and lying down at the feet. So, again, this is the idea of being at his feet. You know, where do I belong? And her heart takes her there. The Holy Spirit takes her there. Her mother-in-law tells her that's where she should be. Come and sit at the feet. Come and lie at the feet. And that's where we need to be. We need to be lying at the feet of Jesus today. Because I believe something's going to happen today in the meeting. To do with what's going to happen, to do with you and me and us as a people. So, she has to go and she has to, if you look back at verse 4, it says, uncover his feet, lie down, and it says, he, that's Boaz, he will tell you what you should do. But where is she? She's lying at his feet. So she's in the place where she can hear what he is going to say. And she is waiting for him to speak. Now, it doesn't tell us how many hours she waited, but she might have waited some time here. And at some point, he wakes up and says, who are you? Verse 9. I'm Ruth, your maidservant. And then she says, she makes her prayer here, like, take your maidservant under your wing, for you're a close relative. You're a kinsman redeemer. You're my redeemer. She's saying it to him. You're my redeemer. She's making, in a sense, she's making demands on him, although he said nothing. Because she's been instructed. The Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, Naomi, has instructed. She's received instruction, and she is submissive and obedient in spirit. So there she is, ready to hear what he says. Now, as he speaks, he says, verse 10, then he said, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after the young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request. You know, we have a God who will do all that you request, providing you come in the right way. You couldn't just breeze in there and get that. If you're just anybody, you had to be a person who was going to make that connection. And she was that person. She had been drawn there by God. The Holy Spirit was working in her life, preparing her, her character, her walk, her submissiveness to God and to the guidance of her mother-in-law and to the Holy Spirit was bringing her to that point where she would then hear this, I will do for you all that you request. Do you know you have a God who will say that to you? I will do all that you will request. But it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean, oh, great, I can bring my shopping list to God and he will do everything. Because we have to be, like Ruth, dealt with in the same way so that we've come into a walk where God will give you the desires of your heart. If you know what the desires of your heart, if you don't know what the desires of your heart, then God can give you a heart that will desire him. You can pray, make that prayer, and he will answer that one. He is a rewarder, Hebrews, he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So if you're a diligent seeker after God, he sees, and he will reward you. And then it goes through, I haven't got time to go through all the detail here about how the procedure is resolved, because it's not an instant thing, because there's somebody else who is a nearer kinsman. But at the end, Boaz agrees, because the other person who had a closer claim to the land, to redeem the land, didn't want to be married to Ruth, whereas Boaz did. He had that desire. So he waited for the events to unfold here, and there was a handing over of his shoe that signified that the land, that Boaz was the one that redeemed the land for the family of Elimelech. And it meant that as part of that, he also took Ruth, was to take Ruth as his wife and marry Ruth. So that was resolved in chapter 4, in the last chapter. All that was settled. And then verse 13, Ruth becomes his wife. She became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. And the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative. And may his name be famous in Israel. And may he, this is the, I believe the baby here. So, he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him." So the daughter-in-law, she's given birth to a son. Now this son is in the lineage of Jesus. He is a type of Jesus, this son. He's a type of the anointed Messiah, of the Messiah, the anointed one, who will save his people. It's a great picture. And also, it does say here that it talks about the verse 10, that I have acquired, Boaz says, "I have acquired my wife as my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his position at the gate." So what was happening here, I believe, was a resurrection. Something that had died, where there was no hope. And Naomi herself said that she was bitter. Bitterness. She talked about bitterness because of how God had cursed. She was cursed. But all this turned around because here, I would say at the cross, I mean here, at the this is the transaction of where Jesus comes in here for into our lives, intervenes in our lives, and his resurrection. He is the resurrection and the life. And he brings forth life out of death. And he brings forth an inheritance for us as believers. He wants us to come into an inheritance in the same way that Ruth did here. And Ruth, I thought about the same situation hundreds of years later. There was a young girl expecting a baby. You know who I'm talking about. She was expecting a baby. In her womb was this baby. Huh? It's in direct lineage from Ruth, from the baby that was in her womb. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ was in her. And that is that the anointed, the Christ was in Mary. The Christ, the anointing was in her. And here, as you look back in this whole story here, we see the fantastic thing that God has done. Fantastic thing. Now, God wants us to be like Ruth. He wants us to come into our, and I just want to tie this up with Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, the hope of your calling. We are praying for the spirit of revelation, because there was revelation there, certainly for Ruth. Spirit of revelation. I don't know whether I've got a bookmark in the right place. I don't think I have. In Ephesians 1, that prayer. Now, Ruth had a calling on her life, and so have you. And so have we as a church got a calling on our lives. And that calling isn't to be gleaning in the field and have a little bit of blessing in our lives. We have a much bigger call. Not just to experience a bit of blessing. Not just to experience the odd encounter with God like Ophrah had. but have something much deeper and much more fruitful and much more, you know, fulfilling a destiny and call. Can you see that Ruth had that destiny and call on her life long before she even knew it? Because the Holy Spirit was drawing her. She was drawn to that place because God knew the end from the beginning. And she had to go through it. She could have stayed in the field just gleaning. And, you know, God sometimes, you know, in our lives, we go through times of blessing in our lives where we're able to glean and get blessing in our lives from God. But can you see there's something more? God's got more for us. And all that's tied up with coming into an intimacy with him, which will make us productive. Because it was when she came into intimacy with Boaz that she became productive. And she had a son. All right, that son was her destiny. He was salvation for the family, for Naomi. And in your life and in my life, God wants, you know, he wants productivity. And so he talks about, the New Testament talks about much fruit, not a little fruit. Now, you know, sometimes I thank God for the fruit that we do have and the blessings that we have got. But God wants to call us, you know, it's going from the ones and twos into nations, isn't it? It's not just the ones and twos, which is great. We do rejoice. I mean, that was wonderful, the way that the progression of how Ruth was looked after and provided for. But I'm glad, so glad it went on to become a bigger story. I mean, what a story there. What a fantastic book of the Bible. It's got a book all to itself. And it's powerful. And the Holy Spirit is saying something to us. He's saying something to us. I thought the clock had stopped for a moment there. I must have got more in the last 3 minutes than I thought. He's saying something to us. I think he's saying to us, you're able to glean in your life, you know, glean blessing in your life, because you have a walk with me, and that's great. But I've got something more for you. I've got something more for you. Now, you might have some inkling about what it is. The Holy Spirit can reveal that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, we're kind of seeking knowledge about him, of him, in the midst of our meeting here. We're learning about him from the Old Testament, because the Old Testament is packed full of Jesus. Because when he spoke 2 hours on the Emmaus Road telling them about who he was. And their hearts were burning, and they thought, hey, but he wasn't using the New Testament. Praise God. He was talking about what was Old Testament prophecy, Old Testament truth about who he is, about who God is, who his Father is. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now, we need an understanding enlightened. Now, she came. She came to that place with some understanding, but she came, and her understanding was enlarged as she waited at his feet. And that's what we need. That's what I need. I need to have an enlarged understanding. I need great wisdom in my life. Greater wisdom. I'm asking you, Lord, Holy Spirit, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus, in the knowledge of him, that will cause me to come into intimacy, Lord. Please. That you may know. Isn't it great? God wants us to know. He doesn't want us to be in ignorance. Sometimes we, you know, think, well, I don't know what my future is. I don't know what God's call is on my life. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. Now, somebody can tell you what your hope of your calling is. In the story of Ruth, Naomi is the type of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, through Naomi, knew what was going to happen. Ruth didn't know it, but she was being obedient. She was cleaving to Naomi. She was saying, yes, Lord, I want your will. Yes, Holy Spirit, come and lead me. Yes, I want you to go your way. Give me a sensitivity to your will. Show me what I must do. Show me where I must go. Show me what I should say. And then that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And I think this next bit is great. I think it may say different things in different versions. They say, what are the riches of the glory? You know, it's not the gleanings, hey? Because Boaz is the Lord of the harvest, and now, as his wife, that's what Ruth is in rulership with him. And she gives birth to her call. She fulfills her call, her high calling, to give birth to, in a type, to give birth to the Messiah. Praise God. The anointing. Do you know, God wants you in your life to give birth to something that only He can put into you. And it's already there, possibly in seed form. There is a productivity within you as a person if you will come into your walk that He's calling you into, the intimacy of walk with Him. That will produce beyond your dreams. You may have some idea. You may have had a prophetic word. You may have had some kind of understanding about what He said. But God wants to activate something today. We had this in the prayer meeting, didn't we? We had some of this stuff in the prayer meeting. About a release of things in our lives. What is the hope of His calling, and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance? Now, what's His inheritance? You could go back. If I had time, I would go back and unpack His inheritance in terms of Ruth. His inheritance. Do you know, when Ruth came, she didn't get the inheritance. Boaz did. Jesus got the inheritance. Jesus got her. Jesus got the through Boaz, got the land back. And do you know, your life is not your own because you were purchased with a price. Right? He has paid the price for your redemption. He is your kinsman redeemer today. Hallelujah. And He has called you into an intimacy with Him. I think, so why did I see this? Why can't I come into this walk? I can, but I need the Holy Spirit. Lord, help me. Some stuff in my life's got to go. I've got to be, it's the threshing floor, the winnowing, the blowing of His Spirit on my life. To blow away stuff that's in the way. Hallelujah. And then if I'm not ready, He'll work on me with a threshing. Hallelujah. Praise God. The hope of His calling, and what are the riches of glory? His. Look, I'm your part of your inheritance. You've claimed me. Wasn't it striking how Boaz said he was delighted with her response, that she came and lay at His feet? Oh, that captured him. She lay at His feet. You know, if you go and speak with intimacy, intimate words to Jesus, if you go and make Him your heart's desire, that you give Him your heart in. I mean, talking about prayer really here, I think. A lot of this is prayer, what I'm talking about. You're spending time with Him, you're in His Word, so you get to know Him, so you get to know the book that He wrote for you, the love letter. And yes, He wants to make you a love letter as well, as we were hearing. Because he writes His message to mankind through you, like He did through Ruth. Ruth and her son spoke. They spoke of the Messiah. They spoke of what was to happen beforehand. Hallelujah. And the last part, the third part of this is, and the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Hallelujah, which was the same, symbolized in Ruth, the right raising of the dead, the son that was impossible. Without something amazing happening, that couldn't have happened. Raised from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this age, but in that which is to come. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, God's got a high call on your life. And on my life. Now, I want to kind of bring this back here, okay, to this case. Because I thought about what I was going to say this morning. And just before I woke this morning, I had a dream. Because God comes in dreams and visions. And I had a dream just as I was waking up. And I dreamt about a suitcase. It was a suitcase that I could. Now, I want you to imagine that we've all got a suitcase now. Just me with a suitcase. You've got a suitcase. And you're on a journey like Ruth. You've been on a journey with a suitcase. And inside the suitcase is your stuff. It's your stuff in the suitcase. Because I haven't... This is my stuff. Actually, it's just there's nothing actually in this. But it's my stuff in this suitcase. Right? My clothes for a journey. Yeah? Can't get it open. It's locked. And in my dream... I said, I need a miracle here because I can't open the because perhaps it's not so amazing when I think how easily I lose keys, so maybe it could be a real thing. I can't get the key. I need a miracle to go open this case. And you know, I think in the dream I was in this room, to be honest. I won't say this was exactly the suitcase, but in my dream. But then suddenly, amazingly, miraculously, and it was, I had to acknowledge it was a miracle, the suitcase unlocked and opened. And as I opened it, a word came out of it. And the word, I've just written it down in case I forget it. I shouldn't forget it. Out of the thing came the title of a book. Okay, this is the dream, okay? Title of a book, and the book was, the title, I don't know if it's a book I've got to write or what, but it says, the title of this book was, Wear Your Freedom on Your Shoulders. Can you hear that? That sounds quite good. I thought the Lord was sending some music here. Wear your freedom. As I thought about it, what are you saying, Lord? Where does this come from? Wear your freedom on your shoulders. And you think, well, what on earth does that mean? And is that the Lord sending a message? Have I got a bit of the message coming? You might think, well... Now, you see, in your suitcase, you know, I thought it was very specific, your freedom, right? And I thought, well, if you wear something, it's clothes, isn't it? So you're wearing something like clothes. So you take out your freedom and you wear your freedom on your shoulders. Now, the symbol of shoulders, I thought, well, what shoulders? And if you look in Isaiah, it talks about on his shoulders shall be the government. It's a symbol of rule, of rulership and authority, okay? And it's like, this is something you have to do, and I believe something we have to do this morning, something we have to do, and this case is a symbolic thing, that out of this, the word comes out of this, wear your freedom. You see, some people haven't been wearing their freedom. Or at the level he wants you to wear it at. There is, what is freedom? Freedom, the freedom that he's called you into. And that's, there's a sense that we're all called to be free. We're all called in to experience the freedom of Christ. But you know, and there's Jesus Christ in you, if you're a believer, the hope of glory. God's got a call, like he had on Ruth. God's got a call, and you have a destiny to fulfill. Actually, what's in your case is different to my case. We have different cases. We have some of it is the same. Some of it's the same because we have a freedom that we're the freedom in Christ. It's great. But God has a freedom for you to go and do what he's called you to do what Ruth did, to fulfill that call, to have that baby that you've been called to have, to fulfill that vision and call on your life that he's given you. But it may be locked in a case. You may need a miracle in your life. I believe that you can come up here. We're going to have come up here in a moment. And if you need a miracle, we're going to pray that there'll be an unlocking of that suitcase for you. But as you come, you have to come like Ruth. You have to come with a kind of softly, you have to come softly to his feet and pull the covering over yourself. Pull the covering, maybe it's related to that. But you have something in your life you need to put on. Now, the significance of your is your shoulders. Your shoulders. Okay. You have the response. Wear means you have to do this. You have to wear it. You have to put on the garment. You have to put it on. Your freedom. You have to put on Christ, it says. Put on the anointing. Put on the freedom that you have in him. Okay. If you don't know how to do that, the Holy Spirit will help you to do whatever it is. Maybe you've got to take something else off first because you've got the wrong thing on. You're wearing the wrong garments. You have the wrong garments. If you don't know the Lord, you can get the right garments this morning. If you haven't had an experience with him, you can have that garment. And the shoulder significance of this is that you are actually going to take responsibility for something here. Okay? Once Sometimes we're extremely passive in our way we live our lives. We come along and we're waiting for God to do something, to break through. But God is saying, I want you to come. He's saying, I want you to come forward. I want you to show your, like Ruth did. She came to the threshing floor and she came to demonstrate something. She came to demonstrate what was in her heart. She came to transact with God. She came to come into intimacy with God in a way she hadn't had. And she took responsibility for doing what she had to do, because it wouldn't happen otherwise. It wouldn't happen if she hadn't done what she did. It wouldn't have happened. But it happened the way it did because that was God. So, you need to take responsibility for what's in your suitcase, because God is saying something to you. Maybe you can't get the suitcase open. Okay, kind. You can come up, and we're just going to transact with God. We're going to say God will speak in different ways to different people, so that you can take out of your case what it is that God has called you to do. You take responsibility. If he's called you into a particular walk or particular ministry, you know, we need that in the body. If it's locked up, there are gifts. It's like almost like you can see a row of locked cases here. But God's, you know, I can see them springing open. Bang, bang, bang. Springing open. And out of each one comes the calling of God, that you may know the hope of your calling and the riches of his inheritance in you. And the power that he has. Now, his power is available here. It's all bound up together. His power is available. As you come forward, you can encounter him. But you have to be ready to let go of stuff. What's the point of holding on to it? What's the point of Ruth just let go of the past, let go of Moab, let go of all the Moabite stuff, and she went for something that she knew would give her life. You know, we have the Lord of life in this room. And God is inviting you into intimacy with him that you have, maybe you've tasted something, but into a great walk of intimacy with him that will produce. When there is intimacy between a man and a woman, that's when you get new birth, you get babies, you get families, you get productivity, and that's what God wants us to be, productive. He's calling us into a productivity with him. But he's also calling us to reign with him and rule with him. Like the thinking about the shoulders. Wear your freedom, Lord. It's very strong. This very just stood right out. Wear your freedom. God wants you to wear your freedom. Get it out of the case where it's been. Get it out of the book where you read about it. It's yours. It's yours. Take hold of it. Take hold of the kingdom. Maybe violence is needed. Violence of a kind in prayer. Show some determination. Everything isn't served up on a plate. Yeah, it can be to begin with in the Christian life, but God wants you to start sowing, because you only reap what you sow. So you start sowing, you start to do some stuff in your life that will release God into the situation for you and for other people he's put you with. I just want to just close our eyes and pray just for a minute. Thank you, Lord. Father, we don't want to miss what you want to do right now. We don't want to miss the transaction in the Spirit. We don't want to miss what you're saying to this church through this word. Because here I am here saying it again in a way, in a manner of speaking, saying the same thing, because you want to say something here. We need to step up. If we want to be a church of thousands, if we want to have productivity, if we want to send missions out to different places in the world, we all need to be activated in our calling. We need to be activated, Lord. We need some open suitcases, and we need the vision of God leaping out. I don't want to miss it, Lord. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to reach the end of my life and think about what might have been if I had done this, if I'd responded to the call of God, I don't want to stay gleaning in the field when you're calling me into the threshing floor. When you're calling me, Lord, to a different level altogether. Thank you, Lord. As you prepare your heart, I just want you, as you prepare your heart, you're thinking about how Ruth prepared her heart. As you prepare your heart, when you feel ready, just come up. If you feel that you want to come up, and you want to come up and, as it were, stand, as I'll just put this suitcase here. There's a suitcase here, open suitcase. I'll just leave it there. What are you saying to me, Lord? And if it helps you, just come forward and kneel or stand or whatever you desire to do to speak with him. This is intimacy with God that I want. I want to have intimacy. The world lacks. There's no intimacy out there in the world. Even families, many families don't know. Lord, we want you to do something special for us as a people. We want to have powerful release of your spirit, Lord, a powerful release, even this morning, a release of your spirit, Lord, that will set us free of stuff, Lord. Father, we want to take responsibility. We're putting on freedom, putting on our freedom in Christ, putting on, Father, taking the spirit of the Lord that is the spirit of self-control, Lord, that is a sound mind, that Lord, that knows what the truth is. Lord, we want to have that in our lives. We want to have that. Jesus, we want to have that in our lives. I just want to read from 1 John 5. I'm just going to read from 1 John 5, verse 20, or verse 19. We know, this is the authorized version, not the authorized, the amplified. We know positively that we are of God. Now, you have to have that confidence. You say, well, what arrogance? No, because God has, he did it all. It's of his grace and mercy. And the whole world around us, let's face it, the whole world around us is under the power of the evil one. And we have seen and know positively that the Son of God has actually come into this world and has given us understanding and insight progressively to perceive, recognize, and come to know better, more and more clearly, him who is true. That's what I want. I want to go, I want to find the place of intimacy with him where my life, where he can use me, whatever way he wants, he can use us. He can sow us as seed somewhere. He can use us to do his will. We want to know you better, Lord. Just tell him. Tell him what you want. You can speak it out loud. You can say it just quietly to yourself, to the Lord where you are. Or you can come out. Whichever you want to do. Lord. Jesus. We're tired, Lord, of being on the outside. We're tired. We want to come into intimacy with you. We want to come into a closeness of walk with you, where we walk so close with you that what we do is what you do, that your spirit in us, the hope of glory, Christ in me, the hope of glory, there is a realization of the promises, a realization of what you have said that we would do, of where we would go. You say, greater works than these shall you do. And Father, we want to see the greater works in this church. We're calling you, Lord. We're calling on you. You're the one that unlocks things in the Spirit. Unlock things for each one who comes. Each one who comes to you. Thank you, Lord. We come to receive at your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Shakwade semarashide de brande. Shikunu vasili barato kishi. Worship the Lord. Worship him in spirit and truth. Worship him, for he is worthy. Worship from the depth of your heart. Give out what's in you. Yield to him and let him be all he would be. Jesus, we come. Jesus, we come. With longing in our heart, we cry to you. We call on you. Have mercy, Lord. Draw us close to you. Make us one. Make us whole. Live in us. Live in us by your Spirit. Let your spirit flow in this place. Your Spirit flow in our hearts. Cause Your Spirit to move, oh Lord. We long for You. We long for Your courts. We thirst for Your presence. What else do we have in heaven or earth but You, oh Lord? You're everything we long for. You're all our heart's desire. Jesus. Melt my heart. Melt my heart. Melt my heart and make me Yours. Melt my heart. Melt my heart. Draw me close to You. Draw me close, Lord. Draw me close. Yes, Lord. We choose, Lord, to serve You. We choose, Lord. We choose, Lord, to serve You, to live for You all our days. All our days. We come into Your presence. Among us, Lord, You reign and rule. Make us the body You want us to be. Make us the body You want us to be, Lord. We will be the people You have called us to be. Yes, Lord. Jesus. There's so much more than I dreamed. There's so much more than I imagined. There's so much more than I saw. You are so great, Lord. Give us a fresh vision of Your glory. Give us a fresh vision of Your power. Give us a fresh vision of Your calling in our lives. Give us a fresh vision, Lord. We run to You. We run into Your purposes. We run to Your call. Lord Jesus, we want to say, we're here. Here am I. Here am I. Send me. Here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. We say, yes, Lord, here am I. Yes, Lord. Things don't stay the same. Things can't be the same. Things can't be the same as they've been, because God is moving. God is changing. God is changing things. Yes, Lord. We thank You, Lord. I thank You for the threshing floor. I thank You for the dealings of God. I thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for the work of the Holy Spirit exposing things, bringing things to the light. The Lord, we don't fear to come. We don't fear to come into the light, Lord, where shadows flee away, where things, Lord, that have hindered us, things that have hindered us are exposed and flee away. Lord, no more. No more claim on us. We put on our freedom. We put on our freedom as a garment. We put on Christ. We put on Jesus. We put on His victory. We put on His power. We put on all He is. We are called to reign with You. We are called to rule with You. We are called to know rulership in our lives. Lord, I'm tired, Lord, of trying to avoid issues, of trying to avoid things that You're saying. The time has come no longer to go round the mountain, but to go and speak to the mountain. To go, Lord, and do what You say. No more, Lord. No more delay. No more putting off. No more passive waiting. But, Lord, time to come and take hold. To lay hold of the vision. To lay hold of the call. To lay hold, Father, to see what You will do as we give You room to move in our lives. We thank You, Jesus. Praise You. Praise You. Praise You. This isn't just for now. You've got to take this away. You've got to take this word away, and you've got to pray, and you've got to seek His face. and know that he'll answer you. You've got to take hold of the word, unpack it. There's much more in what that word is that we've heard. Much more. God will speak to you. Let the challenge of God come. Let the plumb line of the Spirit come down. There is some stuff. There's some stuff that's got to change. If you've been facing one way and he's saying face another, you've got to turn. That's called repentance. That's called turning away from one way to another. And if you've had a suitcase and it's not been opened tonight, this morning rather, this morning, that suitcase is opening, or it's about to open, or God's going to put a key in your hand, or it's going to happen now, because you can start. As you stir up the gift in you, as you stir up what God is saying to you, there is breakthrough coming. There is breakthrough coming. Breakthrough is coming in your life. It's not just about me. It's not about your life. It's about the body of Christ. It's about the call of God on us as a body. It's about releasing God's call in us as a body, that we will fulfill God's call. Lord Jesus, we stand on the brink of some stuff here. We want to see harvest. Lord, we want to see harvest, Father. We thank you for the ones and twos, but we want to see harvest. We want you to change our hearts, Lord, like you changed Ruth's heart and that relationship she had with Boaz. We want to have that relationship with you, where, Lord, as the Lord of the harvest, you will, Father, you will bring breakthrough in our lives. You will bring that breakthrough of harvest through us, Lord, through us as we obey you, as we learn obedience, as we learn obedience. We thank you, Lord, for what is going to happen is going to be good. We thank you, Jesus. And we covenant with you. We thank you calling us into covenant, like the covenant of marriage that Ruth and Boaz came into. You're calling us into a covenant of marriage with yourself as a church, that we are a church, Father, that's called to be a bride. Father, we want to be a bride that's fit for the bridegroom. We want to be a bride that wears, is arrayed in the right garments, Lord. We want to wear the right garments, Lord. We want people who come in, Father, to see that God is in the midst of us. Not to hear religious words. Not to hear stuff said that hasn't got reality. Lord, you're calling us into reality of walk with yourself. And we thank you, Lord. You're doing it, Lord. You've been challenging us over the last weeks, months, Lord, to become an Acts 2 church. To become, Father, that the credibility gap will close and that we will be a people, Father, so sold out for you, so on fire for you, that people will be irresistibly drawn. They will be irresistibly drawn by what's in our lives. Not that we have anything of ourselves, but there is such reality of your life in us that people will be drawn in because people are looking for reality. They're looking for life. They're looking for life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Now, if you want to carry on praying, if you want to carry on praying here at the front, that's fine. You can do that. If you want prayer,